good to see you all again. Thank you very much for coming. We trust the Lord will bless our time together this evening. I should say that Harry, who is a friend of ours for many years, comes from Auchinleck in Ayrshire. Just in case you're wondering, you know the connection with Jack Hunter. This is Jack's son, Harry, so we're very glad to have him. We'll share the meeting together as the Lord leads. Now, we're going to read just a few verses from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, I'm reading in chapter number 3. We'll just read a few scattered verses from this interesting chapter. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14. And you'll notice the Lord is writing to the church of the Laodiceans. And notice what he says in these verses. Unto the angel or the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write. And he mentions one of the things he's to write. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Verse 17. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. And then let's see the verse down at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am have overcome and am set down with my Father, which is in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The subject that I want to speak to you about this evening should be applicable to all of our hearts and lives. And I want us just to entitle our subject, Is Jesus Inside or Out? Is Jesus Inside or Out? You'll remember that when the Lord Jesus was born at Bethlehem, he was given the outside place. The Bible tells us that there was no room for them in the inn. And there at Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus was given the outside place. When it came to his life down here, his sojourn through this world of ours, the story was no different. He was still given the outside place. The Bible tells us quite clearly that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He was given the outside place. And it's just that we want to emphasize this evening. The Lord Jesus being given the outside place. But it's not only that his birth that he was given the outside place. And it was not only during his earthly sojourn that he was given the outside place. But when it came to his death, you'll remember the Bible tells us they took him and they led him outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And he was given the outside place at Calvary. So right through his whole life's history, the Lord Jesus was given the outside place at his birth, during his life, and also at his death. But the sad thing is, the Lord Jesus is still being given the outside place today. He's still rejected. He's still unwanted. And he's being given the outside place. That's why we read in Revelation 3 verse 20 where the Savior says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. And the Lord Jesus was given the outside place, even amongst those who went to the church at Laodicea. Now, I want to tell you this, dear friends. These people to whom the Lord is writing here in Revelation chapter 3 were churchgoers. They went to church possibly every Sunday in life. They attended church. Just the way people nowadays go to church. And sometimes they take it seriously and sometimes they don't. But the sad thing is that there are still many people who give the Lord Jesus Christ the outside place, even though they go to church. You might be surprised at me saying that. You might say, if these people went to the church in Laodicea, how was the Lord Jesus outside of their life? For the simple reason that other things were given the inside place. We read about these people here, that they had various aspects of sin in their lives. Surely you say if they were church members, they wouldn't have any sin. But dear friends, the Bible makes it clear we're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, without exception, are outside of the blessing of God's salvation. And so we find here that here were people who were churchgoers in the church at Laodicea, and yet the Lord Jesus was being given the outside place. You'll notice that we read there about these people. We read in verse 15 where the Lord says, "Thou art neither cold nor hot." There was, number one, the sin of indifference. They were neither one thing nor the other. They were neither cold nor hot. Although they went to the church at Laodicea, they were disinterested, and they were certainly grossly indifferent to the message of the Lord Jesus. And you know, the same is true today. There are people who go to church, and they don't think they're big sinners, but nonetheless, the sin of indifference, the sin of carelessness, marks their life. But then in verse 17, we notice something else about these people in the church at Laodicea. The Lord says they were rich and increased with goods. There was a sin of complacency. They didn't see any need in their life or experience. And sad to say, that's an echo of the world that we live in today, isn't it? We're rich and increased with goods. We've got a comfortable lifestyle, and we're totally complacent, and we're indifferent to the things of the Lord Jesus. And then again in verse 17, it tells us in verse 17 that they had need of nothing. They were just absolutely self-righteous. They couldn't see themselves as those for whom Christ had come and shed his blood at Calvary and died to save. They were simply increased with goods, and they had need of nothing. And you know, dear friends, this attitude is prevalent in our world. Just of recent, I've been trying to analyze the way that people live in comparison to the teachings of the Bible. And it's sad to think of the indifference and the complacency and the self-righteous world that we live in today. And I just wonder if in our little gathering here, there are some who are still like these people in Laodicea. You've got the sin of indifference, the sin of complacency, the sin of self-righteousness, and the Lord Jesus is being given the outside place. You see, you can't have Christ plus your sin. If the Lord Jesus Christ enters your life, then sin must be put out. You can't have Christ plus your sin. It's impossible. So these people had made up their minds, and they were more interested in self-righteousness, selfish interests, indifference, and complacency. But the Lord Jesus, in our passage here, is viewed as one who is standing patiently knocking at the door of their lives. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That clearly indicates that the Lord Jesus was outside of their lives. He was given the outside place. And the Lord Jesus is still being given the outside place by many people, like the people in Laodicea. Even though they go to church and even though they live a good life, yet the Lord Jesus Christ is being pushed out of their lives. One of the things that the Bible makes it clear is this, that the Lord Jesus will never gate crash into our lives. He will never bulldoze his way into our lives. He always waits for the invitation to be given to him. Did you notice that in the text? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, Then he says, I will come in. But the responsibility rests with each one of us. Individually and personally, we've got to hear the knock of the nail-pierced hand. The children's chorus comes to mind. At the heart's door, the Saviour's knocking. At the heart's door, fast closed by sin. Don't you hear him? Gently knocking. Draw the bolt and let him in. He won't force himself into your life. He's a thorough gentleman. He doesn't gate crash. He waits for us to draw the bolt and let him in. There's a lovely verse in the Song of Solomon which says, open to me. My head is filled with dew and my hair with the moisture of the night. In the New Testament, we read the Lord's desire is that the nation of Israel should be saved. And he says, all day long, I've been pleading with him. All day long. It's as though patiently the Lord has been standing with his nail-pierced hand. And all day long, he's been knocking for an entrance. But in this verse in the Song of Solomon, it's not all day long. The verse says, open to me, for my head is filled with dew, and my hair with the moisture of the night. He's standing not only all day long, but he's been waiting all night long. And he's been patiently waiting for a response from your life and mine. I'm sure many of you have heard of Holman Hunt, the famous artist. Holman Hunt was responsible for painting 7 different portraits called The Light of the World. They show the Lord Jesus standing outside a door all grown over with ivy. And the Lord is knocking at that door, and at the bottom is the word of the text, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. And Holman Hunt, when he was finished painting one of his paintings, it was criticized by a fellow artist. And this artist said, Mr. Hunt, you've forgotten something. You've omitted the handle to the door. Oh, he said, that's deliberate. That door can only be opened from the inside. It can only be opened from within. I can't force an entrance, the Lord is saying. And he's waiting today, and he's saying in the words of this text, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. But remember, he waits for us to open that door. Maybe through Sunday school days and Bible class times, and over the years you've attended gospel meetings or church services, and the message has been faithfully presented to you, and you've heard the knock of the nail-pierced hand, and you've been conscious of the voice of the Saviour appealing to your heart, and he's still waiting. You've never drawn the bolt, and you've never let him in. Could that be possible for someone in our meeting this evening to be like that? Remember, he will never force an entry. It reminds me of the story in Luke chapter 24. You remember two were traveling from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus made it, though he would have gone further. When they came to their home in Emmaus, they went into the home, but the Lord Jesus didn't invite himself in. He didn't gate crash. He didn't bulldoze his way in. He simply made as though he would have gone further. But the Bible says they invited him and he came in. And that describes for us the language of Revelation chapter 3. The Savior says, if any man hear my voice. So first of all, you and I have the responsibility of hearing his voice and opening the door. So there's a responsibility that is 100% ours. The door must be opened from the inside. You must respond. You must open the door and let him in. There are two things in this passage here that tell us about the message of the gospel. In verse number 19, we read these words, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, repentance just simply means that sin must be put out of our lives. And this verse is telling us quite clearly that the gospel demands a response from you and me. We must be willing to put sin out of our lives. We can't have Christ plus our sin. So before the Lord Jesus even speaks about inviting him into our life, he talks about being zealous and being anxious to put sin out of our lives. Because you can't have Christ plus your sin at the same time. You have a choice to make this evening. And in our text, the Lord is appealing to us to draw the bolt and let him in. So number 1, verse 19 says, sin must be put out. But verse 20, the main text of our passage, tells us we must receive Christ. I wonder if you've had an experience in your life of receiving Christ as your Saviour and Lord and Master. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I go to church." That's good. We commend you in doing that. But that is not enough. You could go to church just as these people in Revelation 3 were doing. They were attending church in Laodicea, but the Lord Jesus was being given the outside place. And the Lord Jesus must have been greatly grieved and greatly saddened to see the indifference of these people. Is it not the same today that the precious Saviour, the Lamb of God, the Lord of heaven and earth, who has been waiting so long in your life, is still being given the outside place? He wants to be in the driving seat of your life. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's imagine the Lord Jesus looks at your life and your life is just like a motor car. And he says, "I want to come into your life. I want to come into your motor car." Oh, well, we'll put the Lord Jesus in the boot. Our friends will not know anything about that. Nobody will see the Lord Jesus in the boot. But he's not interested in that kind of arrangement. He doesn't want to be in the boot. Well, you might say, "Well, we'll put him in the back seat." He'll not be as obvious as he might have been in the front, but we'll put him in the back seat. But he doesn't want to be in the back seat of your life. All right, you say, "We'll put him in the passenger seat. We'll give him the place of honor in the passenger seat." But you know, he doesn't want that either. He wants to be in the driving seat. He wants to be in total control. He wants to be the guide and the master of your life. And that's what the point of the text is. "Behold, look, I'm standing at the door." And think of his patience all day long, all night long. And he's saying, "I've been knocking and I've been waiting for an entry. I've been waiting for you to open the door and invite me into your life." And you might say, "Is it really worthwhile having Christ in our life?" Well, verse 20 tells us that if we invite Christ into our life, he'll sup with us down here. In other words, we'll have fellowship with him. We'll know his presence along the Christian pathway. Christianity isn't just pie in the sky when we die. Christianity is knowing Christ as our Saviour and Lord here and now, and having the assurance that Christ is our Saviour and Master now. I wonder if that is touching your heart this evening. So remember, we'll sup with him down here, but more than that, verse 21 says, we'll sit with him up there. We'll sup with him down here and know his presence and fellowship in the Christian pathway. But we'll sit with him in heaven. We'll enjoy his presence throughout eternity. And that is just the point that we want to emphasize this evening. The blessed Son of God is patiently waiting, and he wants to enter your life. And you're still keeping the door closed to him. The story is told of King George V and Queen Mary. And that's not the father and mother of the present queen, but the grandfather and grandmother of the present Queen. They were in country residence at Balmoral. It was a lovely summer's day and they were walking through the woods when accidentally the Queen slipped, and she slipped in such a way that she broke her ankle. So the King ran off hurriedly to get assistance, and he found a little cottage deep in the forest, and he came to the door and he knocked. No one replied. He could hear movement inside, but no one opened the door. So he knocked a second time, a little louder than the first. And reluctantly, the door was opened. And an elderly lady, she opened the door, and she said, "Who's there?" And of course the King said, "It's King George." Well, of course the door was opened wide when she knew it was the King. And she lived afterwards to tell the story of how that one day the King of Great Britain came to visit her. And she quickly added, "I almost kept the door closed to him." The King of Great Britain. Imagine if royalty came to visit your home tonight and you almost kept the door closed to them. Well, it's not royalty. It's someone far more important. It's the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he's appealing to us. And he's saying to us in the language of the text, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door and I will come in."